All right, so today is Parsha Toldot. So the first thing in the Parsha is a repetition in the first pasuk. It says, "Ve'ela Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham olid et Yitzchak." These are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. So there's a famous Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha, who in essence is asking why is everything repeated. And he says, because the late Sanei Ador, the scoffers, said that Abimelech netabra Sarah, that Sarah, she's with Abimelech. It's like she's with Avram for a million years, never has a child. She's with Abimelech for a little time, and even though they didn't have relations, they said, oh, he impregnated her, and then right away she's got a child. So therefore, Avraham olid et Yitzchak. Hashem created Yitzchak that he looked like Avraham. So everybody said, oh, that's it. He's Avram's son. But there's other Mepharshim.
But wouldn't that Rashi be in the Parsha before?
No,
that
no,
he looks exactly like his father?
No, this Rashi is in the first Pasuk in our Parsha, and it's here because Rashi is explaining the difficulty in the Pasuk. It says, Eil Toldot Yitzchak ben Avram, and this is Avraham Olidit Yitzchak. So he's explaining why does it repeat Avraham Olidit Yitzchak. You got it or not?
Oh, this is the first mention of Yitzchak? No.
No, it's not the first mention of Yitzchak. But
Yitzchak was born one or two parshiot before. So I'm saying when he was born was also after the thing with Avimelech.
Right. But I'm saying
Rashi have commented there that he looks
no, but
just
I'm saying
like the father.
The drasha Rashi is commenting to explain difficulty in the psukim. So he says not in the so before in Achinami chronologically that's the way it happened, but here now there's a difficulty in the pasuk. So Rashi is using this medrash to explain the difficulty in the pasuk. Anyway, there's a hamek davar. Let me get the hamek davar out. I had it here. 1 second. Oh, here it is. Yeah. So the hamek davar says, Avraham olid Yitzchak, zemuchlal tzav shebechol rachav alichotav, anikar rishum shu beno shel Avraham. The hamek davar, that's the netziv, he says that, Eila todot Yitzchak ben Avraham. This is like the history of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Avraham olidit Yitzchak. And the chronology is, in everything that he did during his life, you could see that he was the son of Avraham Avinu. And it was Avraham olidit Yitzchak. He says, v'lo kein Yishmael. That wasn't the case by Yishmael. Shegam kein ben Avraham was also a son of Avraham, biologically. Avalo yanikar b'lichotav shum beno. But it wasn't Nikar that's the way it was. He says, "Umisaper haketuv shebishvil sheYitzchak b'chol alichotav ben Avram." Okay, so that's the way that the Hamek Davar is saying. Then there's another piece. This is
what are you calling it, Hamek Davar or Haemek Davar?
No, Haemek Davar, Haemek Davar. Hey, Ayin, Mem, Kuf, then Davar.
But it's not Ha'emek Davar.
No. It's
that's
not.
Something else. Okay.
No. Well,
isn't there a Perish Ha'emek Davar?
No, I think this is the Perish Ha'emek Davar. This is the Perish. This is it.
Okay. It's in its eve. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, then there's another shot where it says, this is from Rabbi Yechiel Alexander. It says that Yitzchak always thought of himself that he's nothing. He's just Ben Avram. He's just Ben Avram. He says, in other words, everything's my father. I'm nothing. And Avraham didn't think that he had done everything. He felt everything is Yitzchak. I'm the father of Yitzchak. That's the way
Avraham
felt.
Oh, that's nice. I never heard that. That's a nice word.
So he says, and my whole zakus is that I had a child like Yitzchak. He's an upstanding child. So he says, that's like dark and bakodesh. They didn't see themselves worthy. They thought it's either the zakus of the father or the zakus of the son. So Eila Todot Yitzchak ben Avram. So Yitzchak thought, my whole zakus is that I'm ben Avram. And Avram thought, Avram olid Yitzchak. My whole zakus is that I gave birth to Yitzchak. And that's the piece with that.
That's very nice. Never heard that.
All right. Now,
Is it commonly held that the offspring don't come into their own until the father passes away?
Well, there was a piece of Torah I think I had said earlier is it by Chiyam Achari Mod Abraham by Yivarech Lo Kim Yitzchak Beno? Is that coming up? But there's an idea like when the Rebbe is alive, the Talmud comes into his own when, you know, when the Rebbe's not there anymore. And then it says, Vayiachre mod Abraham, Vayavarech Elokim Yitzchak beno, that after the death of Abraham, Hashem gave a blessing to Yitzchak. So I think this idea does come, like that a person comes into their own when the Rebbe, the father, unfortunately passes away. All right. Now, there's a lot in the Parsha we have here about, you know, Yaakov and Esav. And even when they're in utero, they're each struggling. So the Chazal teach us that when Rivka would pass by a house of Avodah Zarah, so Esav would be trying to get out. And when Yaakov, when they pass by a house of Beis Medrash, so Yaakov would be trying to come out. You know, let me do one more piece from the Itur Torah, and then I'll come back to this thing. So it says Vaydilu Anarim. It says that the children they grew older. So this is from the Itur Torah. It quotes it from the Yalkut Yehuda. Reb Levi Amar, Mashallah Hadas Itzvonid. It's like Hadas is the myrtle, and Itzvonid is like some sort of like thorn bush. Shigudelim Zel Gavzel. They're growing next to one another, meaning when the branch is younger, they don't look so different. But then when the plants develop, so one gives forth a very fragrant aroma, the other gives forth its thorns. He says, so too, for the first 13 years of lives, so they were both going to yeshiva. After the 13, they go off on different drachim. So Amr Blezer, this is the Medrash Rabban, our Parsha says that once a child gets to be 13, a father has to make the bracha. So the simple pshat is that the father was getting punished for the aveirut of the child. And now, once the child comes into his own at 13, the father is no longer punished. So, Baruch Shep Tarani Mian Shoshal Zed, like, thank, blessed Hashem, he, like, exempted me from being punished on behalf of this child. That's a simple pshat. See, he says, Levush, though, learns different. Levush learns that the pshat in the bracha is different, just the opposite. He says that, up until now, the son was punished for the father. In other words, if the father had aveirot, so the son could be punished for those aveirot. He says the Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Chet brings down Vayarsham Vayinas Mikas Benavutav Dor Shavot Menat Simakodesh Baruch Hu Koes Al Benayim, that a generation that the fathers like antagonize a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he takes it out on their children and on their daughters, and they die when they're younger. And similarly, the Sifri says, Ish bechato yumatu gidolim meitim bavon atzmam, that adults die for their own aveirot, ketanim bavon avotam, ketanim die for their own, for the aveirot of their parents, or their fathers. So memela, so lechora, we would think that that the son would make the bracha. Baruch Shem Tzarei Mian Shoshal Zeh. In other words, like I'm grateful. I'm not being punished for the averut of my father. So, but he explains that it's that even according to Levush, a person has to be worried, be concerned that he doesn't cause punishment to somebody else. He says that he quotes from the Machzor Shekel. The Gemara Masechet Shabbat says, "Kol shechaveru nen ashal yado," anyone who like it causes punishment to come to somebody, they don't let him come into the close precincts of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the father in particular has to be sameach now, and he says that now he's not going to cause any harm to his son, and Emela, he's not going to be causing that the son will be punished for his aveirot, so he makes this bracha. So it's Baruch Shep Tarani Mi Ansho Shozeh, bless Hashem, Shabrani Mi Ansho Shozeh, like from causing punishment to come to this child, and then that would redound to my, in essence, I'd be in bad shape. But it's just the point is that the source for this by Bar Mitzvahs is really from our Parsha, at least according to the Medrash Rabbah. All right, now, with Yaakov and Esav, there's a twist. So it says Yodei Tzayed, that Esau became a Yodei Tzayed. He was a hunter. So in Yodei Tzayed, Rashi learns, let's get the Rashi out. He says, Yodei Tzayed. So Rashi says, Latzul Ramot Aviv Befiv. He knew how to like deceive and ensnare his father with his mouth. V'sho'alo, Abba, Hiach Masrina Melech V'Latevan. He says, Dad, how do you take maaser on salt and on straw? He says, "Ksavu Aviv Shu Medakti B'Mitzvah." No, those things don't require maaserot. And so his father thought, according to the Medrash Tanchuma,
he was such a Talmid Chacham.
Yeah, like he's so from. That's one way to take it that way. Now,
do we really believe that Yitzchak was so taken in?
Well, that's what I'm going to get to. So assuming that to be the case, why would that be the case? Why would it be that how was Esav able to pull it off on him? So there's a piece here in the Itur Torah, it goes from Rav Naftali Rupshitz, who I think is a ancestor of Aaron Moshe Kirsch in our group. He says
that, where is he?
I don't know. But
Did you send a reminder?
I remember. Here's Ruth is here now.
Okay.
But I remember that. I assume he's at work. He's probably busy or something like that. I sent an email out this morning. He says,
I saw.
Yeah, if you want to send a reminder, you could. Ruth, welcome. So we're doing Parsha Toldot now. So we said that Rashi says that Esav, the Pasuk says that Esav was an Ish Yodei Tzayed. Like, simple pshat is he knew he was a hunter. But Rashi learns Yodei Tzayed, he knew to ensnare his father. He was asked his father, how do you take maaser, a tithe, on tevin and melech, on straw and salt, something that doesn't require maaserot. And so the father thinks, oh, he's so frum. So if that is the pshat, how come Yitzchak didn't catch on to him? So I'm quoting from Avtali Rupshitz, and it's in the Sefer Ituri Torah. He says, I heard from one of my rabbis when I was in high school, this pshat. Yitzchak grew in the house of Avraham, in the environment of tzaddikim and tamimim. He says he didn't know the way of the deceitful people, and so he believed.
I have Arthur and Daniel. Who else should I remind?
It's okay. It's, anyway,
Livia.
She's out of the loop at this point, and so okay. In other words, in Yitzchak's household, it was like toho kibaro. Everybody was like what you saw on the surface. That's the way they were. So he fell into it. But Rivka, she grew up in the house of Betuel and Lavan. She grew up with deceitful, lying, conniving people. So she knows like a Rasha when she sees a Rasha. So she catches on right away. And that's what Chazal teaches in Gemara Masechet Yoma, Daf Tet. It says, "Man d'mishtai Reish Lakish b'hadishuka." If you would see somebody speaking with Reish Lakish in the marketplace, he says, "Yahavali iska below sade." You knew that he was reliable, and you could give him merchandise without witnesses. If Reish Lakish is talking to him, he says, only Reish Lakish, he says, means Rabbi Yochanan and his colleagues who were contemporaries, they grew up among tzaddikim. Reish Lakish, at a certain point in life, he was a highwayman. He was a bandit. So he knew, who's a sneak and who's not a sneak. So if you see him talking to somebody in the shuk, that means he's a reliable person, and you could do it that way. Okay, that's one derech. Now, like as Fern was saying, though, there's another derech, which is to say that Yitzchak really knew who Yitzchak was and where he was coming off from.
Who Esav was.
Yeah, who Esav was, right. He says that he knew that Esav was like an aspect of a chazir, like a pig has got split hooves. He shows its hooves that I'm kosher, but really he's a treif animal. He says, and the proof of this.
We learned that in a Gemara, didn't we?
Well, it's certainly in a Medrash Rabbah. It might be in the Gemara as well, but it's a prototypical case of something which is like false but on the outside appears kosher. So. So the raya for this is, Rashi says later on, Shanav Amushcha B'ni, like when he's giving the brachot, Yitzchak says, come close, I want to feel you. He says, so Yitzchak said, Ein derech Esav liot shem shemayim shekur b'fiv. Like he says, how come you were so quick. He says, Ki kra Hashem Elokech lefanai, Hashem help me. So he says, what is this? My son Esav doesn't mention like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what I mean? So I want to feel him. I want to check if he's really Esav. So you see that he knew that Esav isn't the firmest person. And a different raya, the bracha that he wanted to give Esav was just v'yitein l'chalo kimital shmai m'shmenei ha'aretz. He wanted to give him from like the material physical blessing, the material blessings, right? But the bracha of Avraham, he gives to Yaakov afterwards, after that parsha, he gives the bracha of Avraham, which is more ruchni. So we see that Yitzchak really knew which way Esav was coming off on. So the Hesber, and then this is from the Sefer Zichron Meir by Reb Dov Meir Rabin. He was Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. And it's brought down the Sefer Yalkut Lakach Tov. So the Hesber is that there are two hanhagot with a child who's gone off the derech. He says, if like they're really off the derech and like, you know, like the Michal Shabbos are eating treifas, they're living with shiksa, and they don't make any pretense of, you know, in any way observing tradition, so then you have to keep your distance from them. But as long as the son honors the parents and makes tries to make a show that he, like at least a pretense of being from, he says, so it's ruhi to be makari of them. In other words, like you know, like let's say he's not from, but in the father's presence, he puts on a yarmulke and he tries, like, you know, to behave properly. So then you have to be makari of them because there's a hope that maybe he'll come back. And and we know that Esav did kibud av ha'em on the highest level. There's a famous medrash. So let me just quote this medrash, Rabbah. It says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel." Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and there's more than one Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but I assume this is the father of Rebbe. Kol yamai yiti mishami shel Abba. He says, "My whole life I served my father." He says, "Lo shimashti uto echad mimei hashmei she'esav et aviv." I only did 1% of what Esav, how he served his father. When I served my father, I would be like in like soiled clothes, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm cleaning up, I'm cleaning the kitchen, whatever. He says, and then when I'm leaving, I put on very nice clothes. Esav would wear like royal clothes when he served his father. Amar, in kvodo shel abba liyot misham shel bigdei malchut. He says, the kavod of my father is only with bigdei malchut. Hadahu dechtiv asher ita b'bayit. He says, like, he says later on that Rivka took bigdei Esav achamudot, his desirable garments that were with her in the house. And those were the begadim that he would, like, serve his father with. So the point is,
okay. I thought Yitzchak was blind by then anyway, and all he needed was to feel the stuff.
That could be, but we saw already that he, but how does that change the fact? He says, Ki kra Hashem Elokech lefanai, that he knew, and he also, the bracha he wanted to give him was the material bracha.
No, for Rivka to give the chamudot might have been irrelevant if he was blind. She had to give the skin, so he felt, you know, like Esav.
Right.
But the chamudot, if Yitzchak couldn't see them, is questionable. So maybe he wasn't blind.
Oh, you mean why is she giving him bigdei Esav achamudot? Okay, right. There's much to explain on that as well. But one derech you could take is that in order to, like, I have one of my friends is Reb Baruch Pesach Mendelssohn. We'll see. I don't know. I was thinking of the reviewing this, but he was saying, like, in order to play the part, I need to wear the costume. You know what I mean?
To feel the part.
Right. And there was like to really get into it, in other words, to really portray Esav, I need to, like, dress like Esav. But that's one derech to say it like that.
That makes sense, because the chamudot wouldn't do it for a blind father.
All right, we'll see. Now,
chamidot is the appropriate...
Chamudot.
Chamudot.
Means what?
Desirable.
Huh.
Okay. So now, and in addition to which, Esav says, Yikruv me Evel Aviv Argad Yaakov Achi. He says that we see that he says, when my father's not in the picture, I'm going to kill him. So we see that he had like deference to his father. He says, and And Yaakov was afraid of Esav, the koach of zechus that he had for kibud av v'aim. Anyway, he wants to say that Esav might have been not a good cookie, but he's doing kibud av v'aim, and he's deferential to the father. So he wants to say that Yitzchak wanted to pull Esav in. He realizes he's off the derech, but he wants to bring him in. So he says, based on this, you could say that even though Yitzchak knew who Esav was, but he showed him Ava to be Makariv him. He showed him the love to bring him close. And therefore, by Rivka, it says in the present tense, Ohevet at Yaakov, that's more intense. He says, by Yitzchak, it says, Vayahav Yitzchak at Esav, like in the past tense. He says, Yitzchak really didn't love Esav, but he wanted to make a show of it because he wanted to, like, you know, bring Esav into the fold. So he, Rav Rabin, says from this that everybody should see that, you know, that you know, that it's important for chinuch, you know, to find the derech to reach the son, and to try to, you know, adjust one's behavior based on who that son is, what and who and where for.
Is it classical thinking that Esav was really invested in this kibud av v'aim, that he was kibud av, I should say, that he was doing it sincerely? Because how do you do it? I always had trouble with this. Because, well, how do you do it sincerely and then try to go for avodah zarah and all that?
So
it seems a little bit, it doesn't stimulate, like a
dichotomy. But yes. But you see, he really excelled at kibud av v'aim. So I don't know.
But did he excel at the show of kibud av v'aim? That's my question.
I don't know how to touch that up. I'm not sure with that. I think. It might be Tilui with the drachim that we're saying. Like, if you say he was really, you know, like, well, the first one you're saying, I don't know.
And the pasuk that you just referred to, Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav ki tzayid befiv,
right,
just makes Yitzchak seem either blind or shallow, or
according to Rav Rabin, means he's making a show of it. He didn't really love him, but in other words, he's making a show of, you know.
So then, why does he need Ki Tzayid Befiv? Then he doesn't need that.
Well, no, Ki Tzayid Befiv, again, the Pshuto Shel Mikra is that because he's feeding him, but the drasha is because he deceived him. So the way he's going with the drasha, in other words, that Yitzchak loved Esav ki tzayid befiv, because Esav pulled the wool over his eyes. So if Dovram Rabin said, no, he didn't really pull the wool over his eyes, but he made a show of loving him, you know, and as if, in other words, like as if he's accepting what Esav is saying to him. You know what I mean? Like,
but then why did he have the better bracha prepared for him?
It's not the better bracha. It's a different bracha. That's his proof. In other words, he wants to say the ruchni bracha were for Yaakov, and the gashmi bracha were for Esav. In other words, the Mefarshim bring down, and I think it's from the Chasam Sofer, that Yitzchak thought that Yaakov and Esav will have a Yitzchak Zvulun relationship in the world. In other words, that you know, Esav will
Got
be
it.
The man,
yeah.
He'll be the businessman, he'll support Yaakov, and Rivka saw that it's not going to work. So, but in that, based on that outlook, so Esav, I'm giving a bracha, he should be like a millionaire, and Yaakov, a bracha, he should, you know, succeed in his learning, that type of thing. So that was the way Yitzchak thought everything.
So, you know, Fern, in the end, you can't really know everything about the depths of the behaviors. You really can't. You can only see as much as is tangible, and that.
You know, when I was in high school, it was a very good teacher. The principal of the school would teach the freshmen a class on Bereishit called Ma'avak Ben Ha'achim. And that's a very good title of this book, with a subtitle of like family psychology and dysfunction.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing a lot of dysfunction here.
Yeah. And just possible deception.
Oh, it was definite deception here somewhere.
All right. You know what? I think, you know, let me just do, I'll just a brief chew from the Note of Yehuda, and then I'm going to do another piece from Rav Simon. And, you know, there's a famous chew from the Note of Yehuda where he was asked, there was a very wealthy person, a notable who lived in the 18th century, and he received a question from a very wealthy person, and the person had all these forests, and he wanted to go hunting just for enjoyment. You know, he wanted to know, is there any isur and just, you know, going around, like, I don't know what he was hunting. It might be maybe a bear or a fox. I don't know what they had in Europe. But so the notable Yehuda says, he says, Mitzaradin, there's no Isur in going hunting. But he adds on, I'm very surprised that you would want to do that, because the only hunters we see in the Chumash are Nimrod and Esav. And they're not very good personalities. And
what about Cain?
And he says,
Cain also?
He says, what? What?
Cain also was a hunter, no?
I don't know. He was a farmer, as far as I know. I don't know in terms of being a hunter.
But he was a hunter.
Okay, so he says, when he adds on, he says that's not the derech of Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He says Yesh b'davarz mida meguna. It's also like a bad attribute. He says Achzarius v'gam Isur v'sakanta. In other words, he says you're like, inculcating in yourself the aspect of cruelty. In other words, like you're going around just for fun shooting all these animals, and that's not like the derech. In other words, so sometimes things are prohibited; they're not in the spirit of the Torah. And then he says there's also Isur v'sakanta. There was the Isur, you're putting yourself in a dangerous situation. I don't guess you're hunting for the bear. The bear could come hunt you, whatever.
For you.
and sakanta, because, you know, when you're in a dangerous situation, so in Shemayim, there's like a weighing of your zechuyos. And he says, therefore, he says, I don't think it's a good idea to go do these things. And he says, was it not for my love for this person, I wouldn't have even responded to a question like this, he says. But I just thought,
Jews don't hunt.
Well, Bruch Hashem, they don't. All right. Let me do now a piece from Reb Simon on Chanoch Lanar Al Bidarko. So first, he mentions from Reb Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, who lived in the 19th century in Germany.
And into the 20th century.
I don't think so. I don't think that's correct, Ruth. I think he passed away. I think he passed away in the
1880s.
What?
I'll check. Go ahead.
You could check.
1808 to, I think, maybe 1884, maybe.
Yeah, so that's the 19th century.
It's possible, you're right, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not checking.
Okay. Anyway, so he was a very important leader of the German Jewish community, and he's famous for
language.
The phrase Torah im derech eretz, but there's a whole question. Like he tried to at that point in time, like the Reform were making tremendous inroads, had made tremendous inroads in the German Jewish community, and he was invited to the Kehila in Frankfurt to be the rabbi there. And they sent out like an SOS. I don't know. There were like 10 from Jews left in the community. Everybody was Reformed Jew. And he introduced like a choir in the shul. And he introduced a school where secular subjects were taught. And I mean, the issue, the $64,000 question was that like something l'chadchila he thought this is good, you know, for good? Or it's just under those circumstances he did all those things. But any event... And the Breuer's community, that's his family in Washington Heights, those are his ideological successors.
My father taught there for 51 years.
Okay.
By Breuer?
That's where I started in school, a pre-1A.
All right.
Okay. And it wasn't for me.
Okay. Now, Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, in his Parish on Chumash, he says the problem, how do you end up with a Yaakov and Esav to begin with? And I mean, they're growing up in this nice from home. How do you end up with an Esav there? So Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch says, and Rav Lerner used this once in one of his drashot, he says that they were given the same education. In other words, they get the same education. So he says not every child you know, in other words, like if one child, he's like the Talmud Chacham child, he needs one education. Another child is like a different thing, so he needs a different education. And that's what a person says, Chanoch Lanar al pi darko, like train the child based on his derech. He says that every, gam kiaskin, l'yisrim mena, but you have to recognize what the child's coming from. Now, he quotes from the Gra, you know, I'm getting some noise here, so I hope you don't mind, I'm going to mute you, because I just want to, okay. So, he quotes from the Gra in his Perush HaMishlei. He says that a person can't deny his mazel. Like his mazel is like the constellation he's born under, but it means his propensity. He says, like Chazal teach us in the Gemara Masechet Shabbat on Kuftan Vav, and Rabbi Basileli, I think, was recently speaking about this. The Gemara says, if a person is born under Ma'adim, which is Mars, he'll be someone who spills blood. He says, so Amar Ravashi, I Umna, I Ganava, he might be like somebody, a bloodletter. He said, like for medicinal purposes, I Ganava, a bandit. He says, I Tabacha, I Moala, or he might be a butcher, or he might be a Moal. So he mentions, in other words, if he's a Rasha, he'll be a list. In other words, like he could have this propensity to spill blood, but he can use or channel that propensity in whichever way he or she chooses. So if he's, he could be a listim, he could be a bandit and murder people. He could be a butcher, is like in the middle, a benoni. He could be an umna, is also like a bloodletter in the middle. Or he could be a moel. He could be a moel. Now he's like a clay kodesh. So he says, so that's the basic idea. So person, Hashem instills in everybody a certain, you know, propensity, a certain inclinations. And it's so he says that if you have a son or a Talmud, don't attempt to like change the person, like his propensity. Let's say he's got an artistic propensity. So, you know, he could Chas v'Shalom go to painting women without clothes, or he could channel that and create decorations for shul or a mantle for a Sefer Torah. So a parent or a Rebbe shouldn't try to undo that propensity, because that's going to lead to heartache. And even if it seems, he says, that they're following what he's saying, it's going to disappear when they get out of the scene. And that's the way to do it. So you missed the piece, Fern, but the basic idea was that everybody is born with a certain propensity, but they could channel that propensity to where, so if they're like under, if they have a propensity to spill blood, they could be a bandit and murderer, or they could be a moel, or they could be in the middle, they could be a butcher. So you want to channel it in the right way. So the, now he says, it's also important, he says, for a person's own chinuch in Torah and Avoda, he says, everybody has like an aspect of Torah that they can like delve into, either Mikra, the Psukim, or Mishnah, or the Gemara, or Halacha. Some people go to Halacha, or Medrash, he says, or other areas. And in other words, each person can, you know, choose where they fit in best. Let's say the person is very mathematically oriented. So maybe like Kiddush Levana would be a good thing, or, you know, with, or aspects with Erevin might work well with him, you know, but, or calculation of a mikvah, you know, but every person has a chelek in Torah. And he quotes from the Sefer Shevet Musar, but Leah Cohen, who lived in the Kilin Izmir. Izmir is in Turkey. He says, your pursuit of Torah should be in the area that you have a passion for and what you're passionate about. He says, if it's Gemara, fine. Drush is good. Rem is good. Kabbalah, good. He says, the Pasuk says, Ki im b'torat Hashem cheftso. In Torah of Hashem is his desire. He means the Torah is talui in what his chayfetz is, his desires. And then he quotes from the Ari, the Sefer Drushei Anashamot Va'Gilgulim. The Ari said, Yesh ben Adam, that some people just are, you know, interested in the pshat, some drush, some remez. And he says, he says, in other words, the idea is, in other words, he wants to say, like, the Ari isn't a Gilgulim, that people get, you know, reincarnated. So he says, like, where you're being pulled is that's where you should focus on. See, in other words, the other things you've done in another Gilgul. So go where you feel drawn to, because that's what you have to be metake now. And he says, and then again, going back to this Sefer Shevet Musar, he says, don't pay attention to the people who say, no, you shouldn't be studying this, doing this. Just follow your cheshek with this. And he says, the Satan, like, he dresses himself in these people who tell, don't do this, don't do the other thing. You need to follow what's true for you. All right. Now,
so is this Shimshon Frohl Hirsch speaking?
No. Again, Rav Shamshon Frohl Hirsch, he's doing different things. So Rav Shamshon Frohl Hirsch said that the problem was that he gave the same education to Yaakov and Esau. That's Rav Shamshon Frohl Hirsch. Then he quoted from the Gra. The Gra said about, like, a person has a propensity, but he can choose where to channel the propensity. Then he quoted from a Sefer, a third Sefer. This is from the Sefer Shevet Musar by Eliyahu Cohen from Izmir in Turkey. And he says that a person, you know, follow your passion in Torah. Okay, now he's, what? Okay. So now he's quoting from Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Cook. And he says that Rav Meir Goldbeth, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva Ben Yitzchak Elchanan, he pointed him to Rav Cook in the Sefer Orot HaTorah. He says that he says that people went off the derech because their education wasn't, like, tailored for them, and they were being pushed in things where it wasn't appropriate for them. He says, but it's the same idea. And then he quotes he says that a Rav, he says a Rebbe. Now this part, I don't know if this is from the Rav Cook at this point. He says that a Rebbe has to be makir, this Talmud, and to give the Torah over to them in a way that interests them. And he says that, he quotes from the Medrash and Shir Shirim Rabbah, that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan said, whoever doesn't say Dibrei Torah Barabim, and it's not, like, sweet to the ones who listen to it, it's like a kala, it's a revel b'nei adam chupata. In other words, the kala, like she looks wonderful, the chupa, everybody's like swooning. He says, Noach lo shlo amaran. So if you don't make your Dibrei Torah interesting, so it's better that you didn't say it at all. And Reish Lakish says, whoever doesn't say Dibrei Torah and they're not a raven on people, like a kala that's a raven al baila, is no lo shomaran. So it's interesting. One says that the kala is, like, appealing to the people. One says the kala is appealing to the husband. And that's something else that needs to be touched up. But the idea is that that you have to make the words, you know, pleasant to the people who listen to it. Okay.
Yeah, mentioned the possibility of the reincarnation that sometimes comes up, that's so strong in a person that they have to follow it. Is this something that we really, really, is this something that we hold from, or is this?
Yeah, you mentioned something to me in the past. It's something that's in Sifrei Kabbalah, the idea of Gilgulim.
It's from, okay. Right. But okay. So do we hold from it, or do we not? It keeps coming up.
So it's clearly something that exists. Okay, listen, please, I'm going to just mute you for a minute, okay, Ruth, and then I'm going to open it up, all right? Okay, I was unmuted when it was me and Fern, but now it's getting two people I need to mute. Okay, and then I'll open up in just a few minutes, okay? So then he quotes from the Sefer Matzdike HaRabim Kochavim by Rabbi Yaakov Shalom Schwartz. He says, he's like flipping it over. Now he's focusing on the Rebbe, that the Rebbe has to have a love for the Talmidim, and that's the Yisod for this to be successful in Chinuch. And he quotes in the name of the Admor from Kloisenberg. He says that every craftsman has, like, a special chush, like a special ability. You know, he's drawn to proclivity, he's drawn to it. He says that... he says, like the chush that the Malame needs is the love for the Talmidim. That's what he needs the most. In other words, to be a good teacher, you have to have love for the Talmidim. And if he sees a child on the street, he's filled with love for him, that's the person that you want to be a Rebbe. Only through such Ahava will he be successful. And then he says also, he brings that from, he quotes from Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, who was the altar of Slobodka in Europe. You know, and when I was in high school, his grandson taught at my high school. He was Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel's grandson. I remember him speaking to us about Maftir Yona once. Anyway, so he says that when so he's the altar. So when the altar, Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, would see in his Talmidim anything good that he had done, he would like gush forth with his praises. Okay, Aaron Moshe's here now. He would gush forth with his praises, and sometimes he would kiss him and hug him, especially if he saw a good midah, a good you know, attribute in him. And when he found it, he says, and he would encourage him to go forward with it. And he quotes also from the Sefer Todos Yaakov on the life of Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, the stipler. He says that the stipler would say that a Rosh Yeshiva has to be margish the Talmidim. And when a Talmid is like lax in studying, the Rebbe has to find the source. Why is he lax in his studies, and to support him? Sometimes you see a Talmid like he's like falling away. He says the reason is like he's got a grandmother who's sick, and that's like taking the kishkas out of him. So to be an effective teacher, you have to be sensitive to all the needs of the Talmidim, and the Rebbe has to be mishtatef with its sa'ar and to encourage him. And he says this is really in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Shem shel Talmidim chayvim b'chvod Rav, just like Talmidim are obligated to give kavod for the Rebbe, kacha Rav srich l'habed Talmidim l'karvan. So too, the Rebbe has to be mechabed the Talmidim and bring them close. Kach amru chachamim hichvod Talmid chaviv alech shalach. That the kavod of Talmidim should be precious to you like yours. All right, let me just pause for 1 second, and then anybody want to ask questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? All right, so welcome our motion. What?
The Kehilas Yaakov, he writes a couple of things. Two things. First of all, he writes that to bring up a child, you need two things. He says 50% tefillah. Right? It's interesting, he doesn't say Torah. He says 50% tefillah and 50% shalom bayis.
All right. Okay. Anyway, so the basic...
And 100% mazel.
He said
like this. One time he went to a kid's bar mitzvah. He made sure to show up for kids bar mitzvah, and he whispered. Some people didn't know what was going on, why Dafka went to that town. That kid was in his class, and somehow he got angry at him for learning during Tefillah, and he had a siddur with Oishias Gedolus, whatever the case was. He went there to the bar mitzvah because he wanted the kid to be Michaelim.
All right. Anyway, so what we've been saying is we mentioned about how did you have an Esav? How did an Esav grow up in the house of Yitzchak? So we quoted from Rav Shamshon Rafo Hirsch. He says that the mistake was they gave him the same education, and education has to be tailored to each child. And then we mentioned where Rav Simon. This is all from Rav Simon. He and Rav Simon is going to be speaking on Sunday at RCM at 5:15 p.m. I hope you'll all be there. On Zoom, that is. So, and then he quoted from the Gra that everybody has propensity, and you have to, you know, just channel that propensity in the right direction. And then we said that you have to. He quoted from the Sefer, Shevet HaMusar. You have to follow, you know, where you feel the learning to go. And then we said that a Rebbe also has to make the Torah sweet, and the Rebbe has to be mechabed the Talmidim. Okay, now in terms of this Chanoch Lanar al pi darko, he says he heard that in addition to Chanoch Lanar, there's we can understand also that every generation needs the proper chinuch. In other words, you have the micro level and then the macro level. And he says it's merumas in the pasuk in Balotcha. It says, "Aseidach shtei chatzotzrot, make for yourself two of these trumpets." In other words, in Parsha Balotcha, Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to make trumpets, silver trumpets, and you'll when and you'll call them to gather people, and when you have a tzara, you'll call them. So Rashi says, "Asilcha tosa mishtamish behem v'lo acher." That asilcha, you're going to use them. Nobody else is going to use them. And the Gemara Menachot says, "Kulakim shesamu shekshim lo shem ledorot." That all the kalim that Moshe Rabbeinu created for the Mishkan are good for him and good for future generations. He says, "But chatzotzot kshir lo psul ledorot." But the chatzotzot were only good for Moshe Rabbeinu; they're not good for later generations. So he says he saw in the Sefer Motzei Shalal Rav, who brings from Rabbi Avram Weinfeld in the Shas Tshuvas Lev Avram, that from this we learn that Yoshua didn't use the chatzotzot. Why? He says that the kalim that are used, like to gather people, to get them to go, to march, whatever, are different from each generation to each generation. So it means like the tools that I use in one generation aren't the same tools that I necessarily can use in the next generation. And so I have to find, you know, what works for that generation. And just like each generation has its own Nisayon, you know, so the tools are also different. Okay, that's it with this piece. What?
Didn't we see in the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu may have said that the people who were in came out of Mitzrayim did not have the same midos as the people who followed them? They had different midos that were much stronger later on. Did we not see that somewhere in the Gemara?
Yeah, I don't recall that, but it doesn't mean that we didn't have it. But so the point is that you're really supporting it. You're saying that each generation is different.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, what's up, Aaron Moshe?
I was going to say the Midas going back to Har Sinai are the highest form of Midas. The Dohadeya, even though they had all these problems, Ashkayayev, this and that, but they were still the Dohadeya. There is different than now. The Gemara brings that they wanted to bring rice. They would bring it in the front door, while they didn't look for now to bring it through a side door so that they didn't have to give rice. That was the Hadayah. And you know, Rav Pam used to say that the Mizbeach Mizbeach when there's a divorce is Moirid Demais, that it cries.
Right.
What does that have to do with a divorce? What does a divorce have to do with the Mizbeach? So I used to say that the Mizbeach can take any kind of carbon, an oila, a chattis, a shlamim, carbon tamit, but it couldn't take the carbonis of children.
All right. Let me. I'm going to do another piece from Rav Simon. This was from a shiur that he gave. And
I'm going to wish you a good Shabbos. I have to go to my father for something.
Okay.
Thank you. This is very good.
You're doing kibbutz av, like in the Parsha of Shavua, right?
Okay.
All right. But don't forget to wear. You got to wear your royal clothes.
I have
though,
to go. Right? When I go back,
you got to wear the nice clothes.
When I'm always in nice clothes.
All right. Well, even nicer clothes. All right. I'll see you.
Okay.
And I hope Vern, will I see you tomorrow?
Bezrat Hashem. What time?
3:05. 3:05 p.m.
Ruth, you know why? We're good. It should right. be good. Tomorrow,
60. Ruth, you know, I keep looking for you on Shabbat.
I know. I'm so sorry. I am terribly sorry.
Well, tomorrow's your time. You could make it the last daf, the last shiur of the, well, not the second last daf of the Masechta. You can come.
The penultimate one. Yeah.
That's exactly. Go for it, Ruth.
If I could, I would. Well, please trust that.
Why can't you?
That's for another time.
All right. Anyway, let me talk about this. So in the parsha, it says Vayashav Yitzchak Vayechpor Beirot Amayim Asher Chafru Bimei Avram Aviv, that Yitzchak came and he redug the wells that had been dug during the time of his father. He says Vayisatmum Plishtim Achreimot Avraham. The Plishtim had like filled it up with dirt. And he called them names like his father had called them. He called it the same names that the father had called it. The so it says in the pasuk that that they called one Asek, and then he called the other one Sitna, and the third one he called Rehovot, which is a place in Eretz Israel today. So the Ramban brings down, he called the first one Asek. He says that's like Merumas, it's like symbolic or for the first base of Mikdash. In other words, the well, water, that represents Torah, you know, Ruchnius, so that represents the first base of Mikdash. He says that they hit Haskuimo and they made Machlokot and Kimel Anshach Rivu. In other words, during the time of the first base of Mikdash, we had a lot of tsaros from the Goyim and Hitasku, like you know, for Mishtas, you know, until the Tilt was destroyed. And then the second one, they called Sitna. The second one they called Sitna, and that's even tougher, like they're like the rougher with us. And he says that refers to Bayit Sheni. He says, and then the third well, he calls Rehovot, and that's the third base of Mikdash that will be rebuilt, hopefully in B'mehira B'yameinu, and that will be without any like quarrels and gansuras. He says, and Hashem will be Markiv our Gavul, like expand out our borders. That's Rehovot. So this fits in well with the Ramban. Remember, we did the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. He said that a lot of reasons for all the episodes are Maase Avot Siman Labanim. This is like what happened to the forebears. It's a Siman for us. Okay, now there's a Rabbeinu Bachya, and Rav Simon says that Rav Schechter likes to quote this, and he says like this. He says, "Umasha Torah Hodiyaze, Umimasha Torah Hodiyaze, Nirash Nechshav Lo Luschot, Vuzeh Hitorud." In other words, it seems like this is a good thing that he called them by the same names that his father called it, and that's a zechus for him. The Kavachomer Shloshin Adam Iderech Avotav. Kavachomer, a person shouldn't deviate from like the conduct of his forebears. In other words, like the means the Mesorah. He says, Yitzchak didn't even want to change the names of the Beirot, the names of the wells. That's a kavachomer for like the religion from our forebears and their minhagim. You know, have to be very careful to preserve it and not deviate from it. All right, now the based on the psukim, the medrash, there's a question of the medrash, how many wells did Yitzchak dig? It sounds like three, but it might be four, it might be five. But I want to do this piece now, which Rav Simon quoted from the Shem Yishmuel, and he has a sort of a deeper understanding of these wells, with digging up the wells. I'm sorry?
Some say it's the Eitz HaHara that they're plugging up. But they're the Eitz HaHara, so they plugged up. They plugged up the wells with the Eitz HaHara, and so he unplugged it again.
Yeah, but that's releasing the Eitz HaHara or doing what? In other words, the plugging it up is the Eitz HaHara.
Is the Eitz HaHara.
All right.
In other words, when we unplug the wells, it's like going to the third generation. Yeah, Avraham had a Yishmael, and Yitzchak had an Esav, and then we dug down till the third generation.
All right.
It's clean, Gavard. Became clean. We had to shift a car clean.
All right. So anyway, but the Shem Yishmuel says a little differently. He says, near the forest, Nebenin Chafir Beirot, he gave Kvot Kodesho Avi. In other words, he's quoting from his father, the Avi Nezer. Okay, please. He says, wait, let me just, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to, I just, I'm so sorry. All right. So he quotes from his father, the Avi Nezer. He says, based on the Chovot of Lebavot, it says, Mayim Amukim Eitzah B'Lev Ish. He says, Be'ish Tfunot Yedlana. So there's a pasuk in Mishle, in the book of Proverbs. It says that, like Eitzah is deep in a person's heart, and you need a smart person to, like, pull it forth. He says, just like the water is deep in the earth, and the only thing that's missing is to remove this covering and to reveal it. He says, so in other words, the Eitzah is there. It means like that which you want to pull from the person. You want to say, inside of each person, there's a tremendous hislavus, a tremendous enthusiasm. But the pressures of life, you know, the person, you know, presses the person not to be themselves. So like he was saying, if you have a Talmud studies in Eretz Yisrael, they take away the pressures of life and now they connect to Torah, like it comes forth. So like everybody has that deep inside of them, but it's like covered over with all this dirt and stuff like that. And then he quotes that, one second, another piece here as well. So like when people see something new, they have a reaction to it. But if they're accustomed to something, they don't react as much. Like Hagar, she would see Malachim in Avraham Avinu's house. So in the Midbar, she sees four Malachim, one after another. She doesn't like make an impact on her. Manoach, the father of Shimshon, saw the Malach once, and he said, "Mot namot," like, "Oh my goodness, what have we seen? We're in danger of dying." So he once said the Avod, Avraham Yitzchak, were concerned for the progeny that perhaps they'll be too accustomed to Ruchnius. In other words, again, like going off the Ramban, that the water represents the base of Mikdash. So they won't like feel as hitpalus. So he says, so that's what it represents, like removing the dirt and like feeling this hargashat each time. So anyway, so removing the dirt is that that you can like see the Ruchnius inside of you and also constantly be charged with it, constantly be charged with it. All right, now, one second. Now, he quotes from the Chasam Sofer. This Chasam Sofer is in Parshas Tetzaveh. It says, it sounds like a conundrum. Speak to all the Chachmei Lev, the people who are wise in heart, and that I have filled with Chachma. So, in other words, he's like, why is he repeating? Speak to all the Chachmei Lev that I've already filled with Chachma. So the Chasam Sofer says it means that you'll speak to the people. In other words, everybody has like abilities deep inside of them. But you go to these people who have the abilities, I know they have the abilities, and you tell them that they have those abilities. In other words, you'll tell them, speak to all the Chachmei Lev, the people who have like the kishronot for it, like these abilities, and tell them that I filled them with Chachma, and they can, in other words, I want them to build the Mishkan. Tell them that they can do it, and that's what I want them to do. But the idea is everybody's got like different abilities, and you have to be able to attach it and to pull it out. All right, then, one second. All right, he's got this. All right, I think, let me just look for 1 second. Anyway, the point is, like he was saying, the point is that you have to get down to the core, and people in deep down have this ruchnius, this spiritual, you know, feeling. And he says sometimes you need an ish tavuna, like a person with wisdom, to pull it out. Sometimes psychologists, the Rebbe, the self. And he says that's what the Bay wrote. He says the four Bay represent. And okay, I think that's that piece. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right. What's up?
There's one thing that they brought down, that Esav came out Asui. He was made. Yet he wasn't called Asui. He was called Esav. Then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam took the Yud, gave it to Akiv, gave it to Yaakov. The Yud is the Rapshitz of Rav Zayda brings that down in Zarekodesh and the Megal HaMukosh. The Yud represents Chachma. So when we use a Chachma for Torah, we'll be on top. He won't be able to, but he still has the ability, like Nachash Kadmoni, to get on top of us if we don't followed the Torah principles.
How do you see that Yud represents Torah, though?
The Yud represents Chochmah.
How do you see that? Where does Yud represent Chochmah?
The Yud.
Why?
Yud.
Where do you see that? What's the proof?
The Megal, Amukos brings it. They all bring it down.
Yeah, but it must have a source. Anyway, sure. I quoted from Rav Naftali Abramovitz before you came on today, Aaron Moshe. All right. Anyway, that's it for today. Let me end the recording. One second. Let me end recording. Okay. So